Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Big Move podcast. I am really, really excited to be launching this podcast. I feel like it's been a long time coming. It's been something that I've been working on for a while, and I can't believe it's the first episode. One thing, if you do like this episode, please, please, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. I truly appreciate all of your support, especially as I first start out on this new platform. Hashtag podcast newbie over here. I'm especially eager to kick this off with one of my favorite people. So we're just going to get right into it today. I am here today with Renee Lupino. She is a medical esthetician, London skin guru, fellow American, and a very dear friend of mine. So hi, Renee, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Em. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
Thank you for joining me. So we're sitting here today in Renee's amazing apartment / skin clinic, which she has done such an amazing job with. I kind of want to get into it and discuss kind of just from the beginning how we met. So I moved to London a little over a year ago, and I feel like that was almost when I first met you. I was living in Marylebone. Yeah. You were working on Harley Street.
Straight away.
Yeah.
You just moved.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you had like reached out on Instagram, and We just kind of got to chatting. And then I came in for a first facial with you,
yeah,
which was amazing. And we kind of hit it off from there.
Yeah, completely.
So we're going to get into just a couple icebreaker questions real quick. So Renee, what are the first three things that you do when you get up in the morning?
Check my phone, snuggle my puppy dog, and I like to just relax in bed and kind of focus, check my diary for the day and focus on what I'm going to have going on and arrange my day in my head.
That's super smart. Yes.
Yeah.
Just kind of like
lay
it out.
So I know what to expect and how long I'm going to need energy for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Second icebreaker question. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
So I am allergic to citrus, which means I can't drink all of the yummy things that everyone else can have, but I love an old fashioned, but made with Woodford Reserve. So there's just a little bit of orange peel. You
okay.
can go without it if you have to,
yeah,
but I love it. Have you had one?
No, and I didn't know that you were allergic to citrus. How did
yeah,
I not know that?
It's part of my like collagen disorder that I have, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so good. We'll have to go get one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not
oh
after
gosh.
This, but another day, because it's
not after
in the morning.
This.
Yeah, not at 8 a.m., but you know.
No, no. I'm with you. I love a good old fashioned, a good craft cocktail. So nice. Okay. So I want to talk about the name of the podcast being that this is the first episode. So The Big Move, it's supposed to be a resource for women who are moving abroad, moving cities. So similar to you and I, or have made a big move in their careers, which you have done both. But today I kind of want to focus on your move to London. And I feel like I actually don't really know sort of how that came about for you. I know a little bit, but I feel like we haven't really dived into it. So very interesting for me to know as well. So when did you officially move to London and where did you move from?
So my first flight here was obviously I came to visit, but I took kind of like a 6 month sabbatical here. So I arrived on July 3rd, 2013. So I had been really busy in Texas, had a lot of patients. I was doing startup clinics. I was just really burnt out. And the only way to not treat patients was to be so far away that they couldn't get to me. If that makes sense,
yeah.
Because they would text and say, oh, I just got married. Oh, I have this. And I couldn't even really have a day off. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to take 6 months. And they spoke English here. Like, that's honestly why I wanted to come here. I was like, okay, well, at least I'll be able to understand the language.
Absolutely.
So I came here for a 6 month break and I realized that the skin industry in London is completely backwards. Like, it's not the way that it is in US or anywhere else in Europe, that people really don't know skin here as well as everyone thinks that they do. So I thought, do you know what? There's a huge opportunity here. For me to do more of the medical side of things. Because, yeah, they're great at European facials, massage, lymphatic drainage. They're amazing at that. But they don't have a good grasp of the medical side. The industry has grown exponentially since 2013. But it had, like, had a long way to go then, and it still does.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then you moved over by yourself, right?
Yeah. So then I was here for 6 months. So I got my visa in December of 2013 to go ahead and stay. And initially, my lawyers thought they would only be able to get me the two-year visa. But then about 2 years later, they were like, do you know what? We will be able to get you another one, and we'll eventually be able to get you citizenship. So it all massively worked out.
Wow, that's amazing. And I always like to ask sort of like about that time period. I know for me when I first moved over, it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. There's a lot to take in. It's a big transition period. What was that like for you? Just kind of like paint a picture, I guess, of like how you were feeling.
Okay, well, I moved here from Dallas, Texas. I'm from New Orleans, but I've been working in Texas for 10 years. So I moved here from like Air Conditioning Central, right? And then got here in July of 2013. That was a really, really hot summer, like one of the hottest ones in the last 10 years. And there was no air conditioning anywhere.
Oh my God.
Like I went to a department store, you know, that House of Fraser in the city. So yeah. I went to this department store like, okay, they'll have air conditioning.
Right.
They didn't have air conditioning in a department, a 5-story department store in the city. They had one little section in the lingerie department that was air conditioning. I'm pretty sure the woman thought I was some sort of weird like bra thief or something because I was just like walking in this like 10-foot area for an hour, like picking up bras, just like, please let me stay here. So I mean, it was nice because people would ask you like, oh, where are you from? They'd hear the American accent and be interested, but I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a support group. Like I didn't know where to find anything. What really was horrible is I couldn't find anywhere to have a facial. That's when I discovered like how backwards they were.
Yeah.
But it was difficult. Like, but I was lucky I had my little tiny sausage dog, which is an icebreaker and helps me to meet people.
Yes. Macy, her dog, she's so cute.
Yeah, she's here on my lap sleeping now.
That's so funny that you mention the air conditioning thing. I moved over in July. I don't think it was their hottest summer, but it was very, very hot. And Nick, my husband, and I were moving to our apartment. And it was absolutely brutal. And right, so there's no air conditioning for those of you listening. In London, it's just not really a thing. I guess unless you're staying at like a fancy hotel. And
yeah, they will like advertise outside of restaurants like air conditioned. You as like an American, you think, why would you put that on the sign? Then you find out it's because over half the restaurants don't have air conditioning. Like, do you want to eat your food in 80 degrees while you're sweating? Because like, I really don't.
Yeah, no.
Not indoors. Maybe it was outside, but not indoors. No, thank you.
So how long do you think it kind of took you to get settled? I feel like when I first moved over, people would say, oh, wow, like you're moving abroad. It's going to take you 6 months to a year for it to actually feel like home. Like was that in line with for you or was it different?
I think it took at least a year. It really did. I mean, I met people that I hit it off with, but I didn't feel like I had like a group for at least a year. And even then, like now that it's almost 6 years, I mean, I feel like it's more home here than it is there. But it probably took for me to feel like I had a good network here, probably about 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you meet friends, girlfriends? I feel like creating those connections, as you said, it was kind of the hardest part, I know, for me, for my move. Did you do any like outreach? Did you meet with your Instagram sort of?
No, because, well, first of all, I didn't have an Instagram back then. Second of all, I didn't have as much of a need for a female connection because of what I do for a living. So I talk to women all day long. So I kind of made friends organically through my job. And I'd have
That's
to
really
say
nice.
Most of my friends now are in some way affiliated with what I do.
Yeah.
So because you connect over that like one passion that you have.
No, absolutely.
So out of a week of 15 women a day, I'll make at least one friend. I'll be good, hopefully.
Totally. And you're so personable and I feel like it's so easy for you. And your accent is kind of a mix, right? I feel like you get that a lot. Like, because I know you talk a lot in stories now and you were saying you get feedback from like some of your audience.
Yeah.
Like what do people say about that?
So a lot of times Americans will not know I'm American. Like they will be messaging me questions about their skin for like 6 months and have no idea I'm American because I'll say, oh, go to this shop, blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, oh, where in America have you visited? I'm like, people, I am from there. What is wrong with you? So apparently it is not obvious. I think it sounds super obvious, but whatever. I get a lot of people think I'm Australian, but that's like the
Are
way
serious?
I say so and no apparently sounds like Aussie. But I think that's the 10 years in Texas because in Texas, have you met a Texan? They speak so slow.
Yeah. Well, when I first met you, I could hear the Southern in your voice and I don't know like Southern accents in and out, but not Aussie, I don't think.
Yeah, no, so Oz. And then I haven't had anyone think I was British, but I do have Americans tell me that I sound British. So I just get a lot of like, where are you from all the time?
Yeah.
And did you go to international schools? And people are confused.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but apparently if I have like an American on FaceTime and British people also in the room, I speak very strongly in an American accent to the person on FaceTime. And then if I address someone else in the room, I go more British.
Okay.
Very odd.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I get that.
If you do that. Do you do that?
I feel like, yes, if I'm with my British friends, my UK friends, then I'm also like saying their slang and I'm sort of speaking in that way. But then, right, I feel like after being here a year and a half, I definitely, there are twinges to certain things that I say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it comes out more when, like, I'm with my British friends.
And you're just like rubbish is trash, Americans.
Yeah.
And you're like, when people are like, oh, have you taken out the rubbish? It just sounds bizarre to me. But if you say to a British person, have you taken out the trash? They'll be like, the trash?
Yeah.
How do you not know that rubbish is trash? I mean, it makes sense to me.
No, absolutely. There's so many different sort of slangs and things that come out. Going into, what is your top tip for someone moving abroad or moving cities in a general sense, whether it's like meeting people or settling into London life, or
not to be intimidated by it. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed and don't, I mean, everyone's a person. Be confident in yourself, because that's the way that you're ultimately going to be able to approach people and talk to them anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I love that. That's such a good tip. Okay. Secondly, this is something that I wanted to ask you, and I get asked a lot. So moving from New York, coming over to London, I get asked a lot, like, do you miss New York? Do you miss the States? Do you miss the States? And if so, like, what do you miss most, I guess, about it?
Well, obviously, I miss my family and my friends. I miss being able to get in my car and just go somewhere. And I miss drive-thrus. Mm-hmm. That might be more of a London thing. Like, you know, when you just are dead tired and you want to go to Starbucks and get a coffee and you don't want to have to wear real shoes?
Yes.
Yeah. We can't do that here. Like, you have to put on real shoes and a coat.
Absolutely.
And everything else. It's just so much.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's probably, and obviously my friends and my family, but luckily, like, with iPhones, like, you could iMessage and everything with people all the time. It's not even like, it doesn't even cost long distance to call anyone anymore. So yeah. I'm fine with that. I do wish I could see them more often. Like, I miss just getting in my car and going to my mom's house and like laying on the couch and eating cereal and eating all of her food.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
But no, I'm good. I'm happy here. I really feel like it's home.
I'm so glad. I'm with you. But yes, there's certainly no drive-thrus, not getting in your car, driving around London. That's for sure. Especially for us living in central London. So, okay, cool. So I want to get into your area of expertise, which is obviously skincare. We're going to have some fun with these, but, what are sort of the foundations of a good skincare routine, would you say, if we're going back to basics, back to skincare 101?
Cleansing is critical, and people don't realize that. I have so many people who are like, oh, I use baby wipes to cleanse my face, and then I put on this serum, and then I do this stuff. And it doesn't matter if you're using £700 or $900, everybody, worth of skincare, if you aren't properly preparing your skin to receive those ingredients. So cleansing is number one, and that's actually my top tip for when you move abroad, is I honestly recommend that you use bottled water to wash your face until your body and face can slowly acclimate to the water in the area that you're in. Because I see a lot of people that come here and they're like, oh my gosh, I have all these red bumps on my face, or my skin didn't look like this when I lived in the US. The water here is really harsh. So I recommend everyone have a water filter. But if you're moving somewhere that you don't know the water, you don't know the area, like, the best way to keep your face from flipping out is to use bottled water to cleanse it while you acclimate to your new environment.
Yeah. I remember when you and I first met, that was one of the first things that we talked about. It was like, oh my God, the water is so, it's different. It's different on my skin, my body, my hair.
Your hair and falls out.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's insane. So there are like additional sort of like chemicals, things in the water here, debris, whatever. And so, yeah, go on Amazon. There's
a water filter. You can get one for like £14, or you can get one. I mean, for our London listeners, yeah, £14 to like £30. You really shouldn't be spending more than that. And they last for about a year. You can change out the insides if you're really eco-conscious and can figure that out. I cannot. They are metal, so they're recyclable. I usually just buy a new one.
Yeah.
But I have a filtration system on my entire property now, so I don't have to that anymore, which is really nice. They are an investment. They're $5,000 to $10,000, depending on how your water system is set up.
Okay.
But then it's done and it's sorted.
Right.
So even you can even drink the tap water and know that it's filtered.
Definitely. And then it's not with like a shower filter where you need to change it every, mm-hmm. you know, 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, no,
it is.
The guys just come and like, I don't know what they do, but they come and maintain it every 6 to 8 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that company that's installed it.
Good to know. Okay, I want to talk anti-aging specifically.
Yes.
Such a massive topic, obviously, as we're getting older. So I guess what, as women, do we need to be doing, top tips and sort of products we should be seeking out specifically around that?
Okay, so I personally don't like the term anti-aging because first of all, you're saying anti straight away, which is negative. And aging is also a very negative word in my opinion. Okay. I don't know anyone who thinks that's a great term.
Fair.
Allegedly, in like Asian cultures, they think aging is amazing, but their skin always looks fantastic. So I think maybe that's why. I have no idea. But I prefer to say eternal youth. So all of my like quote unquote anti-aging treatments are actually called eternal youth treatments. The number one thing for eternal youth is to keep antioxidants in your routine. So you want to be eating antioxidants, which are in fruits and vegetables, and you also want to be putting them on your skin because the air that we breathe and the water that we're putting on our skin and the environment that we live in, I mean, global warming is real. We all know that the air quality is horrific. We need antioxidants to protect us. We need antioxidants to prevent free radical damage. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, I know antioxidants are good and I know free radical damage is bad, but they don't know what free radicals are. So free radicals are in like pollution, they're in chemicals, and they basically just go around in your body and attack your healthy cells. So antioxidants are like the cute girl that free radicals are attracted to. So then they pair off and the antioxidants neutralize the free radical. So I don't know.
Yeah. I love that you break down the science for me because I feel like it's just something that we don't really think about. Like we hear about vitamin A, we hear about retinol and we're like, oh, well, I should be incorporating it into my routine. But it's like, we also need to be understanding it, I think, if we are going to be sort of incorporating a lot of these products. Okay, so on that note, vitamin A and retinol.
Yes,
so how often do we need to be using it?
Okay, so I am actually a little bit different with my vitamin A than most people. So I firmly believe everyone should use retinol at some point. However, I do not believe that you need to live on it. If you see someone who's been using retinol on their face like every day for 5 years, their skin is usually red and slick. It's not beautiful and glowing. And this whole thing of, oh, you need to get to like 1% retinol and continue to use it. Like their face is constantly cracking and shedding. And they're like, oh, because it's, you know, the cellular turnover is so high. Well, isn't the point of the cellular turnover so that you look young and beautiful? So why do you look like a Star Trek extra? Like your face is falling off. This isn't sexy or cute or beautiful or young looking.
Totally.
So what I do is I put people on retinol for 3 to 4 months out of the year. So that's really my thing because you are healing the nucleus of the cell. You're boosting your cellular turnover. So unless we are treating something like scarring, enlarged pores, some sort of photo damage, yes, I will keep those people on retinol for longer because we're actually treating a condition.
What brands and products do you like for retinol? And then in turn, what are your favorite skincare brands in general?
Okay, so there are 3 retinols that I love to maintain youthful skin. One is Exuviance. They have this retinol cream that is, it's a 1%, I want to say, I could be wrong on that, but only because I'm not carrying it yet, so I'm not completely sure. But I used it, their PR sent it to me, and they said, oh, it's so gentle, la, la, la. Well, their PR, of course, they're going to say that. So it sat in my drawer for like a month, and then I was too lazy to go get my other retinol out of my other bathroom the other day. So I used it, and it was, I woke up glowing. So then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to keep using it. If it's amazing, so gentle, let's see what happens. So I used it every night for 5 nights, no peeling, no cracking. My skin totally cleared up because it was being a little funky. So Exuviance Retinol, it's amazing.
Okay, amazing. And where can you buy it on Amazon? Cult Beauty?
I know Cult Beauty has it. Okay. Effortless Skin has it. But honestly, type in Exuviance Retinol, it will pop up. And I'll give you a link.
Okay, perfect.
Allies of Skin is a range that I carry in the clinic. And I'm sure I've used it on you in the past. But Allies of Skin has retinol in, I think, 2 or 3 of their nighttime masks. So it's very low level, it's very gentle, and it's a great way to introduce retinol into your routine. So I hadn't been able to use retinol for years and years without flaking up, scaling, even the lowest percentages, even like the skin SkinCeuticals, like 0.03% couldn't put on. So Allies of Skin was introduced to me when I worked at Harrods, actually, and they sent me some of their overnight masks, which do have the retinol, and I tried them, and they say, like, the first time you try it, use it 3 nights in a row. Literally glowing, insane. So that's actually how I baby stepped my skin into being able to use retinol on for a 3 to 4 month period once a year. And that one's actually one that if people want to use it throughout the year to maintain their skin, I'm totally fine with that. Okay. So Allies of Skin, amazing. Also, all the products that I work with are clean, cruelty-free, completely organic, but medically tested. That's the same for Allies of Skin as well. Another one, so we've got two there. The third that I regularly put people on, because I did say I had three, is the Cosmetics Define. So Cosmetics Define is actually 2% retinol, but the retinol is encapsulated in a way that won't penetrate down to the dermal epidermal, that will penetrate down to the dermal epidermal layer of the skin. So it doesn't break down on the surface, so you don't get the flaking, redness, peeling. The Define is also matched up to an AHA complex. So the AHAs actually break down the congestion and the breakouts and then also work alongside the retinol so that you get a better result from your retinol. With that one, I do recommend that people use it every other night to start for about 4 to 8 weeks. And that's not just because of the retinol, because it is encapsulated, but it's also because of the AHAs. You don't want to start just putting AHAs on your face every single night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your face will go red and peel and be crazy.
Totally. So, I feel like acids are such a hot topic right now with cleansers.
Oh, I know.
So do you have like sort of a basic tip? Is it like read up on them, sort of test them out on your skin?
It's always baby step them in.
Okay.
And if you notice, okay, so there's another thing that happens to people. They go, oh, I went and got a facial and then I broke out and the facialist said I'm purging. And then their skin will be bad for 3 months. That's not purging. If you have a treatment or you use a new product and you quote unquote purge, all that is junk that was down in like your skin that's coming out. But if it's an actual purge, it will be like little baby tiny pimples that will clear up in a matter of days. They'll be the ones that, like, you know, if you like put just the tiniest bit of pressure on them, they pop.
Yeah.
They're really easy to clean out of your skin. So, and if you do have that happen, use something like a tea tree oil toner afterwards to sterilize the skin, or something that I love, you can actually find on Amazon. It's called Natrasan. It's great to sterilize the skin and to sterilize airplanes and to sterilize everything, talking about moving. It's completely natural, but it kills 99.9999% of germs on contact. And it's so natural. Oh, wow. You can spray it in your eyes, in your mouth. I do it after every patient. And if I have somebody that's like sick, I spray down the whole room.
Oh, wow.
Strip out everything, because I don't need to get sick and I don't want my patients to get sick. You don't want to go in for a facial and then get sick.
Yeah, no,
like,
absolutely
I have glowing
not.
Skin and a cold. No, thank you.
Totally.
So that's an amazing. Just a little side note for those of you who travel frequently or those of you who are moving, like every single one of my patients who has kids, I'm like, buy this. It's on Amazon. It's like £10. I buy mine from the distributor. I pay literally the same price.
Oh, wow.
It's like such a good deal on Amazon.
Yeah. Wait, that's amazing. Okay. Perfect. So one of the things that I love about you is you, if you do follow Renee on Instagram, you'll know this as well. You share a lot of the inquiries and questions that you get from patients. Cause so your patients are DMing you and WhatsApping you questions about their skin. What is sort of one of the most frequently asked questions or skin problems that you get asked from your patients?
Enlarged pores and blackheads. People are like, how do I get rid of my pores? How do I get rid of my blackheads? First of all, pores do not open and close. Like, people seem to think that like they splash their face with warm water and all their pores open. But that's not the case. Your pores do get clogged up. And if that's the case, I want you to use an oil cleanser. A lot of people with oily skin shy away from using oils on their skin. Not necessary. Oil attracts oil. So I love an oil cleanser because someone with rosacea can use it, psoriasis can use it, dry skin can use it, like skin that needs a more youthful boost.
Yep.
But also like my oily acneic patients, you massage an oil cleanser into your skin for 1 to 2 minutes. Like, I mean, you really like sit there, do it when you're watching Netflix, like massage it in, but it will start to pull that oil out of the pores. So if you do have blackheads and congestion, it will help to alleviate it without over drying your skin. Because a lot of times people already have a dry surface. And so the body, because they're in distress for whatever reason, it might be the water because they just moved to London. So the body is sending oil to the surface of the skin. And then because the surface is already dry, the oil doesn't distribute properly. So it ends up being congestion and clogged pores. And then you're going to sit and put salicylic acid on your face. Like, what, are you crazy? And then you're going to have contact dermatitis and redness. No.
Yeah,
so the oil cleanser is the best way to go about it when you have like a distressed, dry, but broken out face, because it will pull everything out and it's really natural and clean.
Yeah, absolutely. I have super dry skin and sensitive skin, and I transitioned over to an oil cleanser based on your recommendation. And as you're saying, like, it's hydrating, it's plumping, but it does still properly cleanse your face.
Get the junk out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also takes off your makeup really easily.
Right.
Like, I don't have to use a separate like eye makeup remover. Like, yeah, I look like a drunk panda, but who cares? Nobody's seeing me. Like, if I'm dating a guy who doesn't like me looking like a drunk panda, then he should like move on, because I will look like a drunk panda every night when I wash my face. But it gets all the eye makeup off without like being like a harsh ingredient that's like stripping for your lashes.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I feel like makeup remover can be kind of like the naughtiest thing to put on your face. And
yeah, completely. Yeah. And then like, I feel like if I use it, my lashes look bad the very next day. So it's like every once in a while, you know, when you think, oh, I'll just use this.
Yeah.
No, with makeup remover, I pay every time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so transitioning back over into sort of your career path. So you recently opened your own skin clinic, which is so exciting for you. And congratulations again on
that. Thank you.
But what made you decide to sort of make that transition from being in a clinic and then starting your own? And then was there sort of like an aha moment for you, or sort of what did that look like?
Half of it was my patient saying, you need to open your own place. But when I moved here, you know, I mentioned in the beginning that I only got a 2-year visa. I went into training. So I worked with a skincare range, actually cosmetics. I approached them and said, I love your range. I've worked with you for years in the US. I'd love to work for you, because I didn't know if I would be here long term. And then I was headhunted by a brand called Venus Concept that create the most amazing radio frequency devices. And I went over to them to be their basically director of clinical training in the UK and Ireland. And I loved it. It was so exciting working for both of those companies, because I'm passionate about both of those brands. They really work. And as you, as my patient, know, like, I won't use anything if it isn't very powerful, if it doesn't work. I don't want to waste anyone's time or budget on something that's just going to be mediocre results. But after I was with them for about a year, my lawyers came back to me and said, we're going to be able to get you another visa and eventually citizenship, which was so exciting. And then about a week later, I was in Michael Prager's office. Michael Prager is known as the king of Botox in London. Basically, he is Mr. Botox. And I was in training his staff. And I said to him, if you ever need to hire additional staff, I know all of the best of the best therapists in London, because I'm training them. And he said, well, what about you? And I thought, oh, well, what about me? Why don't I go back client facing? So I was very fortunate in that my client facing career began with Dr. Michael Prager, who is very well respected and well known in the industry. And he hired me on to run his new clinic, which actually just opened 3 years later. But he was having some, here it's very difficult to build. Like, you have to get the neighbors to basically agree to everything you do to a property. So he just bought this property, but there were so many issues with the neighbors and everything else. So after a year with him, Dr. Tapan Patel from Phi Clinic, which is also very well known for filler and face contouring in London, approached me, and he wanted me to go into his new space in Harrods, which he was going to do for a year. So I went and did that. And by the end of that, all of the clients that I had from Michael had followed me to Harrods, and they were so loyal. My patients don't leave, and I love it. I have such good relationships with them. Like, they can DM me at 2 a.m. and be like, I know I'm drunk right now, but I have a pimple, and like, blah, 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 blah. What do I do? Like, I'm going to cry because I'm drunk, but also I have a pimple. So I felt like all of my patients were pushing me like, oh, you should really open your own place. And I briefly did a 3-month stint on Harley Street with a doctor who I respect very much. And I approached her and said, I'm thinking about opening my own place, but I'm not positive. Can I do a brief, like, highlight here and see what happens? And her and I both agreed after 3 months. I was so fully booked with requests. It just seemed silly to not be able to do everything the way I wanted to do it. And she said that she felt like with my personality and even the way I was doing my treatments, I was like crying out to be in charge of myself. So basically it happened. Like I didn't have that big of a choice in the matter because my patients kind of drove me to it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like the day after I left that clinic, I woke up the next day so excited.
Yeah.
So I wasn't doing any like work on the side. A lot of people say when they open their own business, they like do side work for like several years. No, I was fully 100%, 45 hours a week doing facials on Harley Street.
Yeah.
And then 100% working for myself 48 hours later.
Yeah.
So it was a very fast progression, but fortunately, because all of my patients have followed me for so long, they all instantly were like, where can I see you next?
Yeah.
And a major thing with me is I don't have people come in every 4 weeks. Once I get, and you know this, once I get your skin perfect and like the way it needs to look, and I teach you about the products that you need to be on, you'll only see me every 3 to 4 months. It's not a constant. Unless you have an event or an emergency, you don't have to come in every 4 to 6 weeks for facials. Unless you want to, then fine.
Right.
But your skin looks amazing. You don't need that. So because the transition was really quick and because I don't have people coming in every 4 to 6 weeks, they were able to wait for me to get everything set up and really, you know, going to start doing facials. So I immediately, about 2 weeks later, was doing home visits, which is such a luxury here in London because people do not like to go out in the traffic in the rain and get on the underground. You don't have a brand new clean face and be like waiting to catch a train.
Right.
It's not great. And half the time you have to take a train because it's like twice as fast as taking a car.
Truly.
Sometimes it's awful. Like I'm all dressed up and I'm like, I just want to take a car. I don't want to have to go on the underground, but it's like, oh, well, it will take 2.5 hours in a car or 30 minutes on the underground. So what are you going to do? But it just kind of, and I've been very lucky. All my patients have been loyal, but it just kind of happened. And I feel that if you're passionate about what you do, it's very easy to work for yourself because you already have that motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this.
Yeah,
you're passionate about helping women look beautiful, like dress properly.
Totally.
So you're excited to like see the new fashions and the new makeup and whatever.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like, oh, I have to get out of bed and go look at clothes.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think any woman feels that way, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't feel like, oh, I have to get out of bed and go help people's faces. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, who am I going to help? Like, whose life am I going to help make better today? Who's on the diary? So that's like when we talked about me waking up in the morning, it's like, oh, who's coming in? What are they coming in for?
Yeah.
Like, I get excited about it.
Yeah, totally. You're right. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And it's attributed to the relationships you have with your patients.
Mm.
And that's what too, I love about your services in the sense of like, right, you're not telling them to come in once a month for a Hydra facial. Like it's results driven.
Yes.
So it's very like catered towards each patient that you have.
Exactly.
And it's not, and it was such like an sort of organic transition for you.
Yeah.
It sounded like, to opening your own clinic. So I guess sort of ending on maybe your best piece of advice for someone considering opening their own business.
I would say go with what you're passionate about. If you're passionate about it, it will happen for you.
Yeah.
So you need to determine what it is you're passionate about and stick to that. Like if you're not passionate about paperwork, hire someone to do the paperwork. Like the more time you spend doing what you're passionate about, the more money you will make. And then you can afford to hire someone to do it for you. And know that if you're the things that you're not good at, outsource them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've done.
Yeah.
Like I am really bad at paperwork and making appointments to the point that like my staff are now like, no, don't touch it. When people DM me, I'll talk to them about their skin all day long. And then I'm like, okay, but you need to email to book an appointment because if you ask me, I might forget and it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And you're going to show up and have no facial.
Yeah.
And also, I may not even tell you where the clinic is. So
100%.
It's just like you have to outsource what you're not good at and determine what you are good at and stick to that.
Totally. When you're a one woman show, you kind of have to, you can't really do it all. You need some support on a level.
You have to have support.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Renee, for joining
thank
me today.
Thank you for having me.
But real quick, break down, where can everyone follow you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm at Renee Lapino on Instagram, just RENEELAPINO. And then it's reneelapino.com is my website. My website's having a bit of a rehaul at the moment. It's not pretty, but it gives the message across. If you want to book in, it's info@reneelapino.com.
Perfect. And we will also link some of the products and things that we talked about today in the show notes. Thank you everybody for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.